Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. I shouldn't repeat what you say. Let's try again.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everybody.
So, welcome to Audacious Aunties. I feel like we've said hello at least five times.
I'm going to go with one of them. No, Asya, there's something called editing.
Okay.
Oh, well, I think that is how it's done anyway. And also, we haven't recorded an episode for quite a long time. It's been a few months. And our last season came to quite an abrupt end just because we both started, like, uni/work. And we forgot to record another episode, so it turned out that our last one was our last one of the season. I hope everyone enjoyed season four of Audacious Aunties.
It was abrupt but beautiful, and that's all that matters. What was it about?
It was about Bhangra.
Oh, yeah, music.
Also, it's technically your fault, actually, that it didn't continue because you were next to...
Oh, was I? Sorry, guys. Yeah. Bit of a mess, bit of a shambles, but here we are. That's what you love about us.
Indeed. But no, isn't it so exciting that we're doing a Christmas podcast? Like, I feel so special.
I do. I feel like I can't believe we've not done one of these before.
This is incredible. I'm also so shocked as well that we're like four seasons into. Because I thought we were only three seasons into Audacious Aunties, and then I was, like, counting what we'd actually done. And here we are, it's four, and with a Christmas special. I feel like, to be fair, we do need some time to, like, adjust to our fan base of six people before we can, you know, come out with a Christmas special, because only, like, the good shows have a Christmas special.
That's so true, Manvir. That's so profound. And we've made it.
We did. We got the acceptance of ourselves, and we went with it.
Exactly.
Anyway, how are you today, Asya? I love, how many minutes are we into this already?
Five minutes.
Oh, how are you?
I am good, just tired and busy. I'm very much looking forward to just having a bit of a rest as we go into the new year. But generally... thriving.
This is exciting, and you'll be back in Birmingham soon, so maybe we can I don't know, maybe post a picture of us two together if we decide to meet up for our fan base.
Show them that
social media.
Yeah, show them that the aunties are reunited, the power in Birmingham is strong.
Exactly, the community is strong, solidarity is key, and also we just need to like revamp our social media.
Jiggery. Our social media is gonna make a comeback, and it's gonna make such a comeback. Everybody will be like, whoa, where did you come back from?
Also, if any of our six fans is interested in like being involved in Audacious Aunties, then like tell us if you want to run our social media pages, because that would be really cool, and we could actually like get a team going.
Yeah, it would be totally voluntary, to clarify.
Yes, we are a charity ourselves.
Exactly.
Educating the masses. I'm trying
so,
anyway.
Manvir, how are you? And then you can introduce us to the topic for today.
I'm good, thank you. I came home for Christmas about a week ago, and since then I have just been sleeping and cooking and watching like all of the new shows that are out, so like the new season of What We Do in the Shadows, The Witcher, and other things that I can't remember anymore, but it's all very exciting, and I just feel very, very refreshed. I think I was really burnt out before I came home, so it feels good.
That's lovely.
So we decided that rather than doing a Christmas special on something Christmassy, because everybody does that, we decided that we'd do something that was quite contemporary and fitting to our time. And sadly, about a week ago, we found out about the passing of Bell Hooks. And for those of you who don't know who Bell Hooks is, she was just this, like, professor, feminist, social activist, and really is part of the, like, the wider movement of intersectional feminism, is core to it, in fact. And we thought that would be really great and important to talk about her on this podcast.
I'm very excited to discover more about bell hooks's life.
Yes, indeed. So yeah, the way that Ashley and I decided to do this is that I'm going to be talking about her from her Wikipedia page, and then we are going to be reading some of our favourite poems by her, because that's always so much fun, isn't it?
Exactly. We're making poetry, season two poetry is making a comeback. Was poetry season two?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes, it was. So well, I'll just give like a rundown of her life, and then I'll start talking about maybe like a few of her works, and then we can get into the poetry.
Very good.
Lovely. So bell hooks is actually called Gloria Jean Watkins, and she was, as I was saying, an author, professor, feminist and social activist. And the name bell hooks comes from her maternal great-grandmother, who was called Belle Blair Hooks. Yeah, so she started off with, in her early life, she was born in September 1952 in a small segregated town in Kentucky. And it was to a working class African-American family, so she didn't come from much affluence from the time. And she was one of six children. And her father worked as a janitor and her mother worked as a maid in the homes of white families.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just find it incredible, you know, that, like, this woman, she only died last week, yet she, like, lived through, like, segregated America, because I think it still shocks me just how close, like, segregation was to our, like, contemporary time.
Yeah, no, and, absolutely.
Like, the fact that there are so many people who avidly remember that. Not avidly, who...
Vividly.
Clearly... That's it. Who clearly, vividly remember it is just... It's terrifying, but, like, just stunning at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And bell hooks was one of them. And so, yeah, so despite all of these circumstances, she was originally educated in a racially segregated school, but then she moved into an integrated school in the late 60s. And then she ended up going to Stanford University, mm-hmm. and got a BA in English. And then she ended up going to the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1976. And so during this time as well, she was also writing her book, Ain't I a Woman? Black Women and Feminism. And that's probably one of her most famous books. And I can't believe that she began writing that at the age of 19.
That's actually, to have a grasp and understanding and be able to put such complex and elegant thoughts onto a page at that age is just incredible.
I really think it is. I think it speaks a lot for, like, her determination, but also how much she went through at such a young age as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the core things to bell hooks's writing is that she includes a lot of her life experiences to, mm-hmm. like, the theory that she has. And, like, obviously, even at the age of 19, she had been through so much that she was already, like, ready to write about it, already had clear thoughts about it. And I think that's the most incredible thing, because when I think about myself at 19, I still feel like I was learning so much about, like, general theory, but also just, like, trying to understand, like, the things that I've been through in my own life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no way that I would be able to process anything in my life enough to be able to, like, critically engage with it at the age of 19.
Exactly. So, yeah, already she was a phenomenal woman. And so she began her academic career as an English professor in 1976, and she was also a senior lecturer in ethnic studies at the University of Southern California. And so there she started publishing more of her poetry, and she started writing under the name of bell hooks, as I said earlier, which was her great-grandmother, but particularly because she was known for her apparently snappy and bold tongue, which bell hooks greatly admired.
Huh.
And then one thing as well about the writing of bell hooks is that the B and the H are not capitalized. And she said that she decided to put, like, those letters in lowercase to distinguish herself from her great grandmother, and also to convey that what is most important to focus upon is her works, not her personal qualities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a quote from her saying that the substance of books is not who I am.
I think that sounds like a very solid quote, ma'am. There.
I think the way that Wikipedia is trying to say this in the whole sentence is that, like, the substance is the books, not like who she is as an individual.
Oh, okay, I understand. It's just the way that you looked more and more confused as you said each word. As you said each word.
It was only 7 words as well. It shouldn't have been that hard to understand. Oh well. Another thing as well is that I think at this time it's quite common for this to kind of happen. So she says that when the feminist movement was at its zenith in the late 60s and early 70s, there was a lot of moving away from the idea of the person. It was, let's talk about the ideas behind the work, and the people matter less. So she said it was kind of a gimmicky thing, but lots of feminist women were doing it, which I think is really nice, and I think that's something that she does really well in her work, which is also why we still remember it today, despite it being published in, like, the 80s and the 90s and the noughties. But, like, just thinking about how, like, work like Ain't I a Black Woman is still really important today.
And relevant, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think says a lot about her work, but also just about, like, feminism too, and how it's moved, but also not changed so much in many ways as well.
Like, the fundamentals are exactly the same, it's just the movement around it that's ebbed and flowed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when you think about first wave feminism, you're like, I feel like it had a very, like, clear-cut aim in the UK and American, like, Western countries, in the sense that it was like, right, white women who are upper class need to get the vote. Like, that was the thing, and everyone was behind it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the second wave of feminism wanted to tackle so much more. Mm-hmm. And within it, there were so many different opinions and ideas as well, that, like, obviously it was going to take a lot longer to achieve. And it feels really weird now that, like, third and fourth waves have come, but, like, still, I think it still feels very centered around the second wave. And yeah. I feel like that is much to do with the work of women of colour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Bell Hooks and her ilk, and people who wrote similar works were, like, the core of the movement.
Yeah. Like, women, non-binary people, trans people, I feel like they're really at the heart still of feminism, which is, I don't know, it just feels like so, like, tiring. Yeah. Like, just that, wow, the 80s.
Yeah, I get you also in the sense that it feels tiring, though. It's like, wow, it's been decades.
And it's not fixed,
and also that, like, decades on, it's women of colour, trans people of colour, non-binary people of colour who are doing the heavy lifting for women and humanity, who really just pay them no regard.
No. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Angela Davis when, oh God, was it 2020? And she was talking about how long she had been working, and she was like, I'm so old now, but I'm still doing this, so the rest of you guys can also do this as well, and, like, you know, pull some weight.
Yeah.
Obviously, much more eloquent ways, but it was just like, oh God, like, the amount of work that some individuals have to do for, like, a collective movement, as we were just saying, that, like, Bell Hooks doesn't want herself to be remembered, she wants her work to be remembered, and, like, for her theory to actually, like, have an impact and a change. Mm-hmm. And that's just, like, incredible. It's so selfless, and it's also just so, like, energetic as well.
Yeah, incredible stuff.
I'm in awe. So roughly at the same time that she was really starting to, like, get into her writing and being noticed by people, particularly by, like, the late 80s and 90s, she became quite significant as a leftist and postmodern political thinker and cultural critic. And so altogether, she published more than 30 books. on like poetry and lots of different topics. And I think one of the things that I really like about Bell Hooks as well is her book All About Love too, because it's just such a like soft, sweet book, and I think it really ties in the whole idea of like theory coming together with actual like life experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also one of the things as well that's really impressive about her is that, you know, she doesn't just have a Wikipedia page dedicated to herself. She has Wikipedia pages dedicated to most of her works.
That's
her
amazing.
Yeah, it's just incredible. And so on the Wikipedia page for All About Love, there's one bit that says, after many disputes with ex-boyfriends about the nature of love, Hooks published All About Love, and she explains how her past long-term boyfriends were foiled by patriarchal thinking and sexist gender roles, so neither relationship ever really had a chance. She kept wanting to recommend a book for men to read, but could not find one that would clearly make her point. So for this reason, she decided to write her own, which would go into depth about her true feelings towards love, which is just...
That's so iconic.
Yeah. I wish I could give this book to every man that I know.
Too true. Like, the book tackles so many... And also what I really appreciate about the book is that it tackles all kinds of... Obviously, it's in the name All About Love, so it's not just going to be about romantic love. But the way that it ties together all the different forms of love, from like familial to platonic to romantic, and like places them in context with one another, is just so like masterfully done that it feels like relevant to everybody.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think that's the point as well. I think Bell Hooks was very important in coining intersectional feminism, but also making it something that like everybody should be involved in, not just like bringing minorities together and having minorities battle together, but like making sure that everyone should read mm-hmm. about this and know about intersectional feminism, which is something that I'm still waiting for a lot of men to do.
Too true. It is amazing how she can make everything relevant to everybody's lives.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that's one of, I think, it might be my favourite book by her. But then there's also Ain't I a Woman? And the title for that comes from Sojourner Truth's speech, Ain't I a Woman? And Sojourner Truth was a woman living in, I think it was the late 1800s. And she just gave a speech basically at... a rally for... Oh, I can't even remember. Let's find out. She was born into slavery in New York, and she... Yeah, this was just a speech that she did that she became really famous for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think also that just speaks as well about how she's, like, uplifting so many other women who have come before her.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, Bell Hooks, I don't have anything bad to say about Bell Hooks that I know of. And I just, like, I really admire this woman so much.
Much respect. And also, I could just, like, you can tell what kind of person Bell Hooks was by, like, on the day of her death, my Twitter timeline was just completely in mourning for her and like quoting some of her best work and talking about the impact, like the active impact that her work had had on their lives. And I'd never really seen anything like it, to be honest, the way that like whole communities came together to grieve and be like, this piece of work completely transformed how I taught lessons at school, or this piece of work completely transformed my relationship with my family or my partner, and it, or like myself. And it's just, it was incredible to watch in a sort of bittersweet way.
Yeah, I think one of the things I really like about her is that her work is really accessible and smart at the same time, but it doesn't feel like it's something just to read like in academia. Like, mm-hmm. anyone can pick up this book, and anyone would want to pick up this book, like, any of her books, and just, like, learn what it means on very personal levels to them, not just, like, staying in theory and academic spheres. Like, it really mm-hmm. is open to everyone. And, oh, God, yeah. I think, in terms of her work, that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia literally has one line dedicated to her personal life, which says, regarding her sexual identity, Hook describes herself as queer, par, gay.
I love that.
Make of that what you want. And yeah, so she sadly died on the 15th of December, and we are recording on the 20th. And so, yeah, it's been 5 days without this icon. But I'm really, like, as you were saying, I'm really glad to see how her death has brought so many people together.
Mm-hmm.
Made people really reflect. Like, she isn't just going to be forgotten. She's definitely going to be remembered for many, many years.
Like the day after my mum asked for my sister for her book to read. And I don't know, I just thought that was, like, in itself quite, you know, she's reaching communities and people that are on the other side of the world in very niche places.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah.
Should we do poetry?
I think so. Would you like to go first with the poem that you've chosen?
I can indeed. So, children, listen close. The setup I have on my laptop is literally ridiculous. I really hope...
What's going on?
No, it's just I'm currently playing a very precarious game of balancing game right now. Because I have my laptop, and then I have my microphone, and then I have the phone that I'm holding that's got you, and I need to hold your microphone close to my microphone whilst also getting my laptop. Anyway, if there was a picture of this, it would be a time.
I'm so proud of you.
So, this poem is part of Bell Hooks' Appalachian Elegy, which is split into 6 sections. And I will be reading the 5th one from this set of 6. Small horses ride me, carry my dreams of prairies and frontiers, where once the first people roamed, claimed union with the earth, no right to own or possess, no sense of territory, all boundaries placed by unseen ones. Here I will give you thunder, shatter your hearts with rain, let snow soothe you, make your healing water clear sweet, a sacred spring where the thirsty may drink, animals all.
I really like that one.
I find it very sweet.
Do we want to analyse these poems, or do you just kind of want to let them sit as they are?
I feel like we could give maybe like 1 or 2 thoughts as to why we chose that one.
Yeah. Why did you choose that one?
So I chose it because I thought it was, firstly, I quite liked the way that she explored, like, very seamlessly slipped in this idea that, like, all the boundaries and the borders and the way that we've divided up the world is man-made, but at its essence, we're all just humans who roam on this beautiful earth that by some miracle we are all on. And I just love the way that she goes into a dreamland and is like, in my dreams we are healed and we're in this perfect earth again. And I just thought that that was, well, that's what I get from it, that when I read it anyway. And I just thought that that was very sweet, because people, especially activists and people of color, use dreams and their hopes for, in their imaginations, as a driving force to keep doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like that. I like that poem quite a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet. And I think you analyse it very well.
Thank you. I am excited to hear yours.
So I chose section 4 from the same elegy. And this one goes as, earthworks, thick brown mud, clinging, pulling a body down, heard wounded earth cry, bequeathed to me, the hoe, the hope, ancestral rights, to turn the ground over, to shovel and sift until history rewritten, resurrected, returns to its rightful owners. A pass to claim, yet another stone lifted to throw against the enemy, making way for new endings, random seeds spreading over the hillside, wild roses come by fierce wind and hard rain and leashed furies here in this touched wood, a dirge, a lamentation for earth to live again. Earth that is all at once a grave, a resting place, a bed of new beginnings, avalanche of splendour. There you go.
Lovely.
I think this poem really touched me because it talks about a lot of things that I think about, but it gives a very different insight into it. So at first it talks about the idea of like rewriting history, and as a history student, sadly, I have to think about this a lot because it's my degree, but often it feels very cyclical and like we're never going to get out of this, and sometimes that can be quite like a sad thing to think about. But the way that Bell Hooks describes it is that it's very exciting and it's like an opportunity to come back from something, and always the idea that change is very possible, not just for people who are reclaiming their history, but for like humanity as a whole. And like, as well as that, at the end it talks about like death finally coming, and I think that death is quite a scary thing for a lot of people, whereas here she says that it's a resting place for new beginnings, and she calls it an avalanche of splendor, which is something that's really nice in terms of coming to terms with quite a scary big idea. Mm-hmm. And making it something that has opportunity in its own right.
Yeah, that is a very beautiful way of putting it.
Yeah, well, it's Bell Hooks who did it, so.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Bell Hooks and Mavi, the ultimate power.
Oh, God. But, yeah, no, I think that's all I have to say, really, about Bell Hooks. That's all I had planned. Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, I think it would be quite nice, and to our 6 listeners or more, if you're listening in today... to also tell us if we all go round, and by all I mean me and you, say one New Year's resolution.
Oh, do you want to go first, considering you put this on me?
You know what, I only thought of it like whilst we were recording, so I've not really thought either. But okay, one of my New Year's resolutions is gonna be I've thought of one, everyone. Okay, one of my New Year's resolutions is gonna be to listen to my mind as to what mood it is for what book I want to read. Like, I'm gonna stop trying to like force myself to read books if I'm not in the mood for them, and like just read whatever I want to read. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that makes complete sense. This reminds me a lot of a conversation that I was having with Connie the other day, and we were talking about like films or books that we felt like obliged to watch or read, and we were like, if you feel obliged to do anything, like, you're just not going to really enjoy the experience, whether or not it's, like, a classic or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, just do whatever the hell you want, you know? Don't feel... especially, like, when it is something as, like, beautiful and personal as reading.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever the hell you want, Afia.
Thank you. That is my New Year's resolution, to read whatever I want and be happy in that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm proud of you. That's a really good resolution.
Thank you. What's your resolution?
A few days ago I was thinking about New Year's resolutions, and I had a really good one in my head, but I've forgotten it already, so I really should write these down. But I think one that I've been thinking about, like, recently, is that I just really want to paint more and make time to paint more in the new year. I don't think I've been painting as much as I would have liked to this year, and I think that's had, like, personally quite a negative impact on me, because, like, as you were saying, I think for me painting is something where I can really, like, just think about how I'm feeling and, like, the emotions that I'm feeling and pay attention to them. Like, it's a time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been doing it less, it means that, like, I haven't been thinking about my emotions as much as I think I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's my plan, to just paint more.
That is a lovely resolution.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And I hope that everyone at home who is listening, or even if you're not at home, you know, like in the garden, in a park, wherever you are, I hope you also have really nice resolutions too.
Excellent. You got all your bases covered there, man.
I know where our 6 listeners are. But yeah, no. Oh, this also reminds me, I was thinking this as I read the poem that I was just reading, that because it talks about like rewriting history and everything, if you want to like learn about history rewritten, Vice have made like an alternative tour to the British Museum.
Oh yes, I've seen this. I bookmarked it so that I could sit down properly at some point.
Yeah, and it just looks so cool, like the idea that you can literally like be in the museum and like have a completely different tour to it, and also that the British Museum just had no idea at all that this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, and it just looks really, really good and interesting, so I'd really like to do that.
That's a good shout.
Yeah, but besides that, I hope everyone has a really lovely Christmas and New Year, whether or not you're celebrating, but I hope you just get to rest and reflect, you know.
Indeed. And goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
This audio was brought to you by Manveer Dobb and Asya Iftikhar.
We don't know much, to say the least.
But if you would like to share your thoughts, knowledge, criticisms, fan mail,
then pop us an email at audaciousaunties@gmail.com.